Hello, my friends. Welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett. So glad you're joining us today for the broadcast. And it is Monday, and on our Monday broadcast, we always try to spend a little bit of time recapping the weekend. And so we've been going through a series on the book of James. And I've got to tell you, the book of James is probably my favorite book in the Bible. I love studying what James teaches us about how to walk by faith and how faith has works behind it. There's no conflict between Paul and James as we look at this study and as we look at what he's trying to teach us. And it's just a powerful, powerful book. And so I hope that you'll take the time and join us as we go through this study. I do want to encourage you today, when you get home, please don't do this while you're driving. But when you get home, look at James chapter 3. James chapter 3, and then also Proverbs chapter 18. And that's where we'll be coming from, those two sections of scripture today. And so I want to entitle the message today, How to Manage Your Mouth. How to manage your mouth. And this is a message I think that every single one of us can gain a whole lot from, because we spend about a fifth of our life actually speaking. And so it's so important that we manage this little member called the tongue. And as I was putting this message together, I tried to come up with a creative title for the message. And so I came up with one that I thought was kind of cute. And it's entitled, Don't Let Your Tongue Lick You. Don't let your tongue lick you. And so don't let the tongue get the best of you. And this is what James says, James chapter 3, verse number 2. We all stumble in many ways. Now that's a mouthful right there, right? James goes on by saying, if anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. So God created us with this tongue. He gave us two ears and one tongue. And James tells us here that if we can control this tongue, we can become a perfect man. That is, a perfect man is a mature person, one who is able to can keep his whole body in check. So everybody has a very unique tongue, just like we have a unique fingerprint. No tongue print is just like anybody else's tongue print. God has given us a tongue that is very unique to us. And you think about the tongue, you know, the tongue is the only muscle that is in your body that is not attached at both ends. All the other muscles that you have are attached at both ends, but not the tongue. Well, maybe that's why it's so hard to control. It's only halfway attached. And so as I think about the tongue, there's so many things that we're going to learn today about the power of the tongue. But let me begin by asking the question of, why must I even watch what I say? What difference does it make? I mean, we're living in a very unique time in history where it seems like everybody just says anything they want. And there's certain things that you cannot say. There's certain things that are off limits. But for the most part, things that are subjects of shame are no longer subjects of shame. It seems like we can pretty much say anything that we want. Well, let me explain to you why it is so important how we use this member of the body called the tongue, and why we should use words that are encouraging, words that are uplifting. Let me begin by giving you some facts about speaking. The average American will speak 7,000 words a day. You know, years ago, I studied this subject, and I came up with a study that said we speak 15,000 words a day. That is, men speak 15,000 words a day, and women will speak 30,000 words a day. Now, that's a myth, so don't take that to the bank, but we do speak a lot. We speak about 7,000 words in the course of a day. Now, as you're listening to this broadcast, I look at my sermon notes, and my notes always have a word counter on them. And so the notes for today's message says that I'll speak about 2,500 words if I follow my notes. Now, I get off my notes just a little bit, so it might be a little more. Give or take 2,500 words is what I'm going to be speaking to you in the next 26 minutes. So we will spend one-fifth of our life talking. Every day we have about 30 conversations, and conversations that we experience every day, if we were to put them in a book, in 1 year, our conversations would fill 66 books, each book having 800 pages. Now that is a lot of conversation. And so as you look at this whole subject of the tongue, do you ever resent your wife having the last word? Somebody said, well, no, I'm just glad when she finally gets it out. And so we tend to say the wrong thing sometimes at the wrong time. So we really need to watch what we say. And here's some reasons why we need to watch what we say. Well, number one is that our tongue actually directs where we are going to go. You know, some say we are what we eat, but in reality, we are what we speak. Proverbs 18. Now, I'm going to be referring to Proverbs 18 a lot today, and so I want to encourage you to look at Proverbs chapter 18 when you get home. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Well, let's go back to James chapter 3 and see what he has to say in verse number 3 of chapter 3. We can put bits in the mouths of horses, we can turn the whole animal, or he says take ships as an example. Although they are very large and they're driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants it to go. When you think about this whole matter of the tongue directs where you're going to go. So let me ask you a question. Where do you want to be 5 years from now? Where do you want to be 10 years from now? Today's conversation is pointing you toward your future. What you talk about is what you're going to become. So the first thing we need to understand in watching our tongue is that my tongue will control my destiny. But number two, my tongue can also destroy what I have. Let's look at verses 5 through 8, going back to James chapter 3. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. And James says that this tongue, this little member, is also able to start a fire. Yeah, have you ever met a person who you could call a verbal arsonist? I mean, their words are always inflammatory. Verse 6 says it is setting a whole course of his life on fire, talking about the tongue, and it itself is set by fire by hell. In other words, when we use our tongues to destroy things, to cut people down, we're actually fueling that tongue from the fires of hell. You see, my tongue can destroy what I have. Solomon put it this way in Proverbs 21. If you want to stay out of trouble, be careful what you say. Verses 7 and 8, going back to James chapter 3, says, you know, all kinds of animals have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. It is filled with poison. The Greek literally means here that it's a snake venom. Just a few drops can kill. You know, you can assassinate somebody with your words. You can assassinate their character. The tongue is a deadly weapon. Well, here's the third reason why we must watch our tongue. Our tongue also displays who I am. James puts it this way. With the tongue, we praise the Lord our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Now here the contrast is given to us. James says on Sunday morning we gather together and we praise the Lord and we lift up the name of Christ, but then that same tongue can also be used on Sunday afternoon to curse people who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. James says, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Can a fig tree and an olive tree or a grapevine bear figs? As we look at this, James is saying, my tongue is displaying who I am. Proverbs 18:4 says, wise words are refreshing. You see, when you think about the tongue is not really the problem. It is the heart that drives that tongue. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever you're thinking about will eventually come out your mouth. And Jesus also said this in Matthew chapter 15. The things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these things make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder and adultery and sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. You see, much of what can be said about our character can be indicated by the way we use our tongue. Seneca once said, speech is the index of the mind. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And according to Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. James reminds us that the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, and James 3:8 calls the tongue a deadly poison. You know, as a fool would carelessly play a prank with a loaded gun, maybe playing Russian roulette, so many Christians today do likewise with their deadly tongue. If only we could fully realize the untold damage that we are doing to the body of Christ. If only we could see the full effect of the words that we use. Perhaps a closer look into the Bible can help. God made man and God made man's tongue. So surely God should be qualified to comment on this subject. God should have some good counsel concerning the use and the misuse of the human tongue. Well, let's consider some sins of the tongue as we find them revealed in God's word. And I'm going to give you 10 of these issues of the tongue that our tongue can be used actually to sin. Number one, we would call this the lying tongue. Proverbs 25 says that a man that bears false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. So what is Solomon trying to teach us here? He's saying that a lying tongue is a misuse of a deadly weapon. It can be used to harm others that are close by with a maul. It can be used to harm people that are a few feet away with a sword, or it can even harm people who are a great distance away with an arrow. So we could liken this to the conversations that we have in our daily lives. In the secret conversations with those that are close by to us, we can hurt them with like a maul. For those that are across the room, we can hurt them with the sword of our word. And across the internet, we can be a great distance and hurt people like an arrow with the words that we use. You see, Satan is the father of lies, and God said that he hates a lying tongue. Revelation 28 says, all liars will have their place in the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever. And Proverbs 6:17 says that God hates a lying tongue. It's actually listed in the six things that God hates, with the seventh being an abomination. So God despises a lying tongue. Here's the second thing about our tongue that can cause us to sin, and we would call this the flattering tongue. You know, flattering is also a sin of the tongue. The Bible speaks of flattery as a characteristic of the wicked, not the righteous. Psalm 5:9 says, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Now imagine the improvements which could be made in our nation if voters elected leaders based on the record that they held rather than the basis of their flattering speeches. Flattery is just a form of lying, and it has no place in the life of a Christian. Well, we've talked about the lying tongue. We've talked about the flattering tongue. Well, let's talk number three about the proud tongue. You know, the Bible speaks of the proud tongue in Psalm chapter 12. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaks proud things, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Here we have a proud person speaking with their tongue, saying nobody is in charge of us. We are a legend in their own minds. We are the ones that are controlling our destiny. When it comes to the Christian faith, you know, the most annoying Christians in the world are those with the proud tongues. Because a proud tongue usually comes from people who have two closed ears. Proud tongue Christians are generally so full of themselves that they learn very little bit from anybody else because they're always talking about themselves. A proud tongue Christian will talk much of his knowledge and of his service, but very little bit about the benefits of a relationship with the Lord, or very little bit about what others are doing to advance God's kingdom. Well, let's continue on. Number four, the overused tongue. You know, some people sin simply by overusing their tongue. Now, as I say this statement, I'm sure you're thinking about somebody that you know that every time you talk to them, they go on and on and on. They use their voice over and over and over again. It's almost like they like to hear themselves speak. As a matter of fact, if you're like me, there's certain people when I look down at my caller ID and they're calling me, I say, oh no, I don't know if I have the time for this conversation right now. Now, I probably shouldn't admit that, but if you're honest, you do the same thing, right? Look what Ecclesiastes 5:3 says. A fool's voice is known by multitude of words. You know, people think that they appear to be much smarter than they really are when they talk a lot. But the Bible states just the opposite. In Ecclesiastes 5:1-2, as you enter into the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. It is evil to make mindless offerings to God. Don't make rash promises, and don't be hasty in bringing matters before God. After all, God is in heaven, and you are here on the earth. So let your words be few. You see, God doesn't like a blabbermouth. You say, well, that's just the way that I am. Well, can I encourage you to repent, confess your sin, and repent? Stop justifying the overuse of your tongue and ask God to help you to repent. Sometimes you say more when you say less. Well, here's a fifth tongue that can lie, and that would be called the swift tongue. You see, some people are guilty of using or speaking too quickly. Now, I'm not talking about the rate of speed at which a person speaks. I'm talking about the need to wait before saying anything. God's word says the following in Proverbs 18:13. He that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him. Now, how many times have you done this? I mean, how many times have you and I had to eat our words because we spoke too quickly? You know, James 1:19 warns us to be slow to speak, to be slow to become angry, but to be quick to listen. In other words, be swift to listen. Why do you suppose God gave us two ears and one mouth? Well, number six. Now, this is one that I think all of us from time to time will battle. This sixth tongue issue is called the backbiting tongue. Proverbs 25 and Romans chapter 1 make mention of the backbiting tongue. Now, a backbiter is somebody who uses their tongue against you when you're not present, yet they will not face you with these charges when you are present. Now, this is kind of a cowardly way to live. The cowardly backbiter who would rather stir up problems than solve problems. You see, a backbiter would much rather talk about people than to reach out and talk to people. A backbiter would much rather talk about how weak Christians are in the church instead of trying to give words to encourage those who are weak. You see, a backbiter is of no use to anyone, and no one has ever been strengthened or edified through a backbiter. We are actually warned against backbiters in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 19. Solomon says, beware of backbiters. He says, especially the ones who sow discord among the brethren. So here we learn something very unique about the backbiter. It's not the chronic complainer that we're worried about. It is the one who is backbiting and causing discord among the brethren, causing disunity within the church. So I want to encourage you, don't be a backbiter. Number seven, this is the tale-bearing person who uses their tongue to gossip. Well, we're going to back to Proverbs chapter 18 again, and I really do hope that you spend a little bit of time in Proverbs chapter 18, because if you're like me, my tongue gets me in some trouble. And so I had to spend some extra time working on this little member, this 3-inch little member of my body, because it gets me in a world of trouble. But verse 8 of Proverbs 18 says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Leviticus 19:16 says, thou shalt not go down as a talebearer among the people. Now, this is pretty emphatic. We learn from Moses that he is commanding the people, God's people, not to be talebearers among his people. Every Christian has the duty to deny his own desires and to seek and to edify other believers. You see, talebearers run wholly contrary to Christian edification. Talebearing, that is carrying and telling lies or telling gossip or telling tales, they spread all sorts of hurtful information around. And Satan uses this information to hinder and actually tear down God's work. You see, a victim of talebearing, according to Proverbs, is a wounded person. God forbid that a Christian should wound another Christian. But it does happen, and unfortunately, it happens many times. Some Christians live as though they are called by God to bring tales of other Christians. As a matter of fact, many years ago, there was a lady that was in our congregation, and she would keep a list of all those who fell into sin. Now, I don't know why she did that, but she kept a list of everyone who fell into any kind of moral sin, or if you got in trouble with the law, or if you got into any kind of situation where you committed a sin and it became kind of public knowledge, she kept a list. To me, that is a mark of a gossiper or a talebearer. So I want to encourage you, the Bible says we ought not to be talebearers. We ought not to be slandering our brothers or sisters in Christ. Well, here's number eight. Two more to go after this, okay? Here's another way that we can lie using our tongue. It's called cursing. The cursing tongue. You see, some people have this nasty habit of using their tongue for cursing. Romans chapter 3 says that their tongue is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Now, this passage deals strictly with unsaved people in their ungodly ways, but yet there's a great many of professing Christians who curse on a regular basis. So, friend, why would you want to identify yourself with someone who describes himself as being dead, deceitful, and poisonous? Psalm 109, verses 17 and 18 says, "He loved to curse others. Now you curse him." The psalmist is reminding us that when we curse others, that curse comes back on us. He says he never blesses others. Now nobody blesses him. Here is a contrast. Instead of cursing somebody, bless somebody. Instead of not holding back that blessing, go ahead and give them that blessing. You see, cursing is natural to the person who has never been regenerate. As a matter of fact, cursing, according to this passage, is as natural to him as his clothing, or as natural as the water he drinks, or the rich food that he eats. You see, when you think about cursing other people, you're really calling down a curse upon yourself. Toward the end of the broadcast, I'm going to do a quick review of where your heart is based upon how you use your tongue. But here we see that the text here, Psalm 109, that God will keep you unhappy because of your speech. Your speech reveals how you're living your life. You know, I tell my children often, and maybe you've done this when your children were especially younger, as they're complaining about something and they're not happy about something, whether it's too hot or too cold, or whether they're hungry or whether they're bored. And I would often say to them, and my wife would say the same thing, "Oh, you want to complain about something? I'll give you something to complain about." You see, God does the same thing to us. God curses those who curse. So, Christian, don't expect God's blessing when your mouth is filled with cursing. Well, number 9 would be called the piercing tongue. Now, the piercing tongue is the tongue that we use like a sword that pierces another person. Proverbs 12:18 puts it this way. "There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health." You see, some people have a sharp, piercing tongue, which Satan can actually use to offend and to insult others. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to do the enemy's work. I don't want to be an accuser of the brother. I don't want to be one who cuts down a brother or sister in Christ, because Satan is the accuser of the brethren. I don't want to offend or insult my brothers or sisters in Christ. Now, the Bible commands Christians to have their speech dominated by grace. That's Colossians 4:6. Yet many churches have few people who will use their tongue, and they'll use it like a sword to pierce their brethren in Christ. It was Teddy Roosevelt who said, "Speak softly and carry a big stick." But the truth is, if you speak softly, you won't need a big stick. Titus 2:8 commands us that we should use sound speech which cannot be condemned. Friend, do you use graceful speech which cannot be evil spoken of? Or do you possess a piercing tongue? You know, every Christian's prayer should be this: "Lord, make my words gracious and tender, for tomorrow I may have to eat them." Well, there's one more sin that we commit with our tongue. And I came up with 10. There may be a few more that you could come up with if you searched a little more deeply. And the 10th one, to me, in some ways, is perhaps the most important one. This is called the silent tongue. You think about the person who gossips. They're sharing bad information. They're sharing bad news about people. But the silent tongue is the person who does not share the gospel. The person who has received the gospel, but doesn't share the gospel. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." You see, we as Christians have an obligation. That is to tell others about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. You see, to be silent about Christ is a sin against Christ. Jesus said, "If you're ashamed of me, I'll also be ashamed of you." I want to encourage you. James reminds us as we close out the broadcast today, "For in many things we offend all, If any man offends not in word, the same man is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Well, I hope you join us tomorrow as we continue on this subject. And tomorrow I'm going to begin the broadcast by sharing some things about the problem with your tongue. It's much more serious than you think. So, Lord, we pray that you take these words, and we pray that we will lay that tongue upon the altar. We ask that you forgive us for the misuse of our tongue. We realize that when our tongue gets out of control, it's an issue of the heart. So, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to look into your word today. I pray that you will bless the hearers, allow the word to go out, and do what it's accomplished to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We would love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.